All right, welcome into a new occurrence here at K-State Online. Again, we've been restructuring. How are we going to do some of our video and podcast stuff? And to give you the best shows, we're not going to do as much like immediate daily stuff, but we'll bundle it all into one, give you longer form stuff to listen to. But I still want there to be a daily aspect for you on the YouTube or when you wake up and you have something to listen to. On normally your short drive to work, if you're a K-State fan, because I imagine many of you are in the state of Kansas. Not many long commutes out there. Feel for if you're in Kansas City or in a much bigger metropolis than what we've got to offer here. So this is going to be the KSO mailbox. It's totally driven by questions that get asked over at K-State Online. So it's a good reminder that if you're not a member of KSO, head on over there, get signed up. Become a member today. You're going to get access to inside info, premium message boards, and more. Sign up for your K-State non-3 membership at kstateonline.com. And those premium message boards, that's where you get to answer the questions or ask the questions that I will try and answer in the KSO mailbox. And I waited to kind of bundle a bunch of these together because here we sit. I could have recorded this earlier in the day. I didn't. I waited until after the K-State UCF basketball game because I thought, hey, K-State could lose or they could win and maybe the tone's a little different or whatever. I just wanted to have full context. Well, we have the full context. K-State lost last night 80-76 to UCF. Once again, moments that just looked like mighty struggles for K-State. Serious questions, serious concerns about what to do moving forward. And really in the way that this four-game stretch has gone now that they've lost games, it has essentially erased everything that's taken place over that six-game winning streak. Not totally. I think it has helped the individuals and how they might be remembered, but as a whole, this team, it has continued to be in track with what we knew, and then also on top of that, it does no favors for Jerome Tang and how people feel about what's gone on with him. So the question, this kind of bundles a bunch of different questions together, but it asks, for next basketball season, what changes need to be made and what gets the Cats back in the NCAA tournament? Well, the simplest thing would be to say that to get back in the NCAA tournament, you got to get better. There's a lot of ways to say it. They need better depth. They need more players that can handle the ball. So you need better ball handlers, a better second primary guard or somebody else that can't handle the ball along with Doug McDaniel. And that all kind of boils down to one of the bigger problems. And you need guys that are better at having a personality that fits with what the coaching staff wants. That's a big part of it, but also what meshes with your teammates and how that works out. And K-State struggled with that this year. Various pieces had to have their moments where they were not a part of this, where they were having to sit, or they had these weird pseudo benchings or minimal minutes. They weren't starting. It was all a guessing game. The lineup continues to be a guessing game for K-State. We saw that last night. Buddy Rich played out of the blue. What was the point of that? Nobody really knows. But then Jerome Tang last night after the game, we don't see this from him very much. But he said on the post-game radio show, I normally take the blame for stuff and everything, but at some point, some of these guys have to take ownership of what's going on out there. This one is very frustrating. It's strange to see him say that, but you have to totally rework the way that you're trying to acquire talent for your roster. So we can start in a couple of different areas for this. We can go with the high school recruiting. That has to be something that you focus on a little bit more in this process. You also are going to have to, and not in a big way. They've tried this big game hunting thing. It hasn't worked out. Try to bring in two or three guys every year. Live in that, you know, top 50 to 100 players range or 150 even, and you're going to get some good guys that stick every once in a while. You know, the most successful recruits that K-State has had in recent memory have all come from that range. And it's just because they weren't overly sought after. You had some room to kind of help them develop. They stuck around. Nigel Pack, most recently, turn into something from that same range. Dean Wade, Barry Brown, Kamau Stokes, those guys were not the most overwhelming recruits, but you got to bring guys in and have the opportunity to mold them to what you want, get them to fit, all of that. That is a big, big thing. So you have to up that game a little bit as well. In addition to that, though, the transfer portal has to be reconfigured in terms of what you're doing. I think K-State at this current moment, or this past year at least, thought if you throw a bunch of money at the most talented players, it's going to solve all your problems. I think a lot of people in college basketball, college athletics, really, they thought that was the solution for a lot of people's problems. As we're finding out and seeing, that is not the case. You have to be able to use that money to retain the right type of guys or entice the right type of guys, but you still have to be rooted in the normal, what we would have thought recruiting looked like in college sports 10, 15 years ago and beyond. Like, do they have a talent that serves your team? Do they have a fit that makes a lot of sense for you? Stuff like that. So you have to have that. And you have to then, once you have those right kinds of people, use that money to keep them there. I would equate it to what Iowa State has done under TJ Otzelberger. They have built a team with a lot of guys that were acquired through the transfer portal, but they have also found some guys that they're not top 25, top 20 best players in their high school recruiting class, but they brought them in, they developed them, they've had a role, they've been solid, and they've paired that with transfers that they have said, oh, we like that, we want to keep you here, and you use your resources to retain the right type of guys instead of saying, you know what, let's go out, try and find somebody better than you. Because sometimes the best option is the known option. And that is where the retention that everybody talks about so much is important. It's not necessarily just keeping guys to keep guys. I said in a semi-vulgar way on Sunday, but you don't just keep eight guys to keep them if they're all eight crap heads, you know? You keep five guys if you think they have the right mindset and they can help your team win. And that's a good foundation to bring back. They can serve you in some way. But it's all about known personalities, because we have enough evidence of teams that have built winners without having retention. K-State in year one under Jerome Tang, they went to the Elite Eight. They were a very good basketball team. None of those players had ever played for Jerome Tang. Only two of them had ever played at K-State. It didn't matter that they hadn't played together before or that none of them were returning to Jerome Tang's team. They were just good basketball players. They all had roles that made sense. They meshed together very well. Not a big deal. It worked out. Kentucky for this year. None of those guys had ever played at Kentucky or for Mark Pope. You know, some of them did, Jackson Robinson, but most of them had never played for Mark Pope. They end up at Kentucky. They are a top 25 team. They're going to be in the NCAA tournament. Injuries have bogged them down a little bit, but even with those injuries, they're still a pretty good team. If they get healthy, who knows what could happen there? There are a lot of examples that can be used of these teams that have been built, come together rather quickly, and works out just fine. So it's not necessarily about roster retention. It's about keeping the right kind of personalities in your program, and then guys that with those personalities have talent that makes sense and meshes for everything. That's what K-State has to be searching for throughout this transfer portal process that they're probably about to embark on. That's a big deal. Now, in addition to that, coaching staff changes. Is that something that comes in the equation? I think with as bad as things have been over the last 2 years in terms of underperforming, not making the NCAA tournament, I think there has to be something that gets done there. And I would almost assume that because of how bad it's been, just in terms of not living up to expectations, that's probably something that a conversation would go on with Gene Taylor and Jerome Tang with each other. And Gene says, hey, what are we going to do to turn this around? There were a lot of problems that kept us from meeting our potential this past year. How do we fix that? You know, do you need to take a look at getting some guys out of here? Because K-State can't get rid of Jerome Tang, even if this season continues to get worse and worse. Can't happen. Financially, makes zero sense. And again, I don't even know that it's 100% fair or the right thing to do, even if money wasn't a problem in the Jerome Tang contract status. I think that he probably, he doesn't deserve to go out after 3 years. They went to the NCAA tournament 1 year. They went to the NIT in another. They'll miss them both completely this year. It's not acceptable what they've done over the last two seasons, but in some ways it's understandable. Lessons learned. I don't think you give up this easy in saying that he can't do this, that he needs to get out of here. But this team has enough problems that somewhere there's not enough happening with the coaching staff. There probably needs to be a change or two that goes there, or at the very least, a reworking of the philosophies that this coaching staff has. Now, in addition to that, I already talked about mindset a little bit. I think that's such an important deal in college basketball this year. I think there has to be a mentality shift with how you build a roster. Like I mentioned, you go out, you get the right type of guys. Don't just throw money at the most talented guy and think that's going to be the way you succeed. To quote Pitbull, he has a song where he says, ask for money, get advice. Ask for advice, get money twice. I think that's the kind of situation that you're in if you're K-State, where you look around. TJ Otzelberger was not asking for money. And he was asking, asking for advice, and he got the money twice. He's got a team that's been in the NCAA tournament every single year that he's been there. And I think that is the kind of model that you want to look at and try to build yourself off of in a lot of ways, because K-State is better resourced than Iowa State on the NIL front. K-State this past year, I think, had at least $3 million more than Iowa State to work with NIL-wise. But you are going to have to realize that you're probably going to have less to work with this year. And that might be a good thing for this staff and Jerome Tang to have to work inside the margins a little bit more. And then the other thing too, you can't really totally control this, but there's a little bit of luck that has to be involved in this. Luck in who you land, luck in the way that some of these things just go. Because you could say to some extent there's been some bad luck. I'm not using that as the big excuse here, so I don't want anybody confusing that. But you kind of have to get lucky in the transfer portal. These are recruitments that come hot and heavy. They are fast. They are one of those that a kid enters, you might have a week to get that thing done. Some guys will build it out a little bit longer, but you might have a week to get the job done there. And you don't have much time to get to know the player. You just know the talent. You get them for a little bit on a visit, and that's what you have to go off of. You're going to have to get lucky in some ways. Things happen for K-State. Guys fell in their lap year one under Jerome Tang. Personality-wise, everything meshed and fit together perfectly to build an Elite Eight team. The last 2 years, it hasn't happened, even though they've had some of the right talent the past couple of seasons. So there's that. Now, in terms of what actually gets this team back to the NCAA tournament, that is a start. But what are you looking for when all of that comes about? Well, we know as long as you know that money is correct and you're not needing to overspend for the general value of a guy. Like, there are certainly players out there that their value is going to be jacked up a little bit higher than what they're actually worth. Like me, you know. We all have things in life that we would pay more money for than what everybody else would. The same type of thing applies to college basketball. You know, a guy like Doug McDaniel, somebody could offer him some insane amount. And if that's not what 80% of the other college basketball teams would pay for him, he's not the kind of player where you would go, yeah, we got to do that. We got to bring him back. Essentially, some of the stuff that happened, you know, with other players in past years that have departed from K-State, you would look at maybe a guy like, you know, Cam Carter's situation, got to go back home. Like, Cam Carter was a fine player. Would have been nice to have him on this team? Yes. But does it make sense for the NIL demands that could have been there? Probably not. And the same type of thing for Arthur Kaluma. Like, are you 100% certain? There was no way to tell what Kaluma was going to become or do at Texas. And he's kind of slipped at times a little bit. But, you know, good season. Again, would have liked to have had him back, probably. But just doesn't make sense, and you got to take chances elsewhere. The problem was that K-State failed in a lot of those other areas that they took chances, so you got to get better at that. But you want to bring back, I would say, Doug McDaniel, Brendan Hausen, Max Jones, if that eligibility situation is solved. Then you have a bunch of other guys that you look at and say, come back if you want to. There's no guarantee. Really, nobody should be guaranteed on what their official role will be next season. Even some of those high-end guys, like I just mentioned, with Hausen, McDaniel, and Jones, But like CJ Jones, you would throw into that category. David Castillo, you bring back, you see what you do development wise. Obviously, they're putting some stock into Bifall. They're going to try and get that red shirt for him. So you would think he'd be back. Hopefully that development took off. Really the only guys that I think I look at personally and say, no need to bring him back next year. If the, you know, even if they want to come back, Yagana and Yenso and Buddy Rich, I don't see any value in those guys helping K-State be a good basketball team moving forward. So you have to do that. So then what are you looking for in the portal? Well, you're going to look for certainly somebody with size that can do a little bit of everything. David Gaston and Coleman Hawkins are both not eligible to come back next season. So you probably need somebody in that role. But you're also going to be looking at saying that these guards are going to take a step forward. K-State has been better when they are a guard-led team, as most. You want a lot of your scoring to come from there. They're the better shooters. They do all this. You would like another ball handler with Doug McDaniel. Could you find a guy that maybe shoves Max Jones' roll down a little bit? That would probably be nice. Like, there are a lot of ways to lay that out there, but you really just have to find a more complete team. I think there has to be a reemphasizing of how guys fit together role-wise. Like, is this roster going to make sense? That's probably something that you have to consider. K-State kind of threw that out the window last year. I thought they could get away with it. It's clear that as it currently stands, the staff was not able to handle that or adjust to it. Didn't work out. You have to create a more traditional roster where your options are going to give you, are going to dictate how you run things and your depth and all this other stuff. So that'd be another thing that I would throw out there. And then you can look for one or two like best player available types if they're really good and you have a legit shot to land them. But for the most part, this has to get into finding guys that have a couple of strong skills that you think translate to the Big 12. They're going to provide you a role and try to win with an aggregation of good players as opposed to trying to get, you know, two of the best players you can find and win that way. Because in year one, yes, Marquise Noel and Keontae Johnson were fantastic. They were definitely a large reason why you won games. But K-State was as good as they were because they had so many other players that added up to making them a good team. Desi Sills, Cam Carter, Ish Massoud, David Gaston. Like, you had so many of these guys, and then even guys that had lesser minutes, they had their clear-cut roles, and they came in and they gave you things at times. You kind of have to get back to building a roster that can win games for you as opposed to just going out and getting players that can win games for you. And that's when a lot of teams are at their best, and especially K-State, because the ultimate goal here isn't just to be an NCAA tournament team. You know, you can get in and be a 9-10 seed in the NCAA tournament every year. It's not a lot of fun for everybody. It's to win in your conference and win when you get to March. And teams that have just one player, they don't do either of those things at a very fun level. They can sneak in, they can be there, they can be involved, but you don't see a lot of teams led by just one guy or one and a half guys making it to the second weekend. You need a complete team. K-State got to an Elite Eight with Bruce Weber off of a complete team because they were missing their best player during that Elite Eight run for most of it. You know, he played a little bit, but wasn't really totally effective. You think about it with the 2010 team. Like, obviously, we know that team was loaded with a lot of guys that people look back on fondly for K-State. They had other guys that would step up and help in those situations. It was a complete team. And then 2023, like I just got done saying, is a complete team. And you get those by finding different guys that can serve roles with their skill set, but also that fit together and have the right mindset. So that is just the baseline. It's a much deeper conversation. But wanted to set the table, start the conversation now, and still a handful of games left to evaluate on some of these guys if you really want them back. And for those guys that decide if they want to come back to K-State, it's a two-way street. If things continue to just completely tank, there's no reason that those guys say that they even want to come back next year. Do they believe in the pitch, in the message that Jerome Tang is giving them? That is going to be fascinating to follow and see in the offseason as well. So That'll do it for today's KSO mailbox. We'll be back again tomorrow. We'll have another one. If you want to ask a question and throw something out there, it can be anything K-State related. Like I said, when I posted the thread, football, basketball, baseball, whatever the heck you want to throw out there, go for it. It doesn't even have to be specific. Like, it doesn't have to be timely. It can be evergreen. You know, it can be who are your five favorite K-State basketball players of all time? Number one is easy. It's Cartier Martin. So that we'll just get that one off the board. But somebody can ask that. You can, like I said, you can ask about the time that I failed macroeconomics at K-State. Only class I ever failed in my life. How did that happen? Well, it's because I'm not a math guy, but also I was terrible at scheduling classes. Just anything's on the table as long as it pertains to K-State. That's what we're here for. Talk about the Cats. Talk about a place that everybody loves. We love K-State. I'm not going to be shy about that. I can be impartial at times. I can, you know, do the unbiased stuff when I need to be honest and assess them. But at the end of the day, I went to K-State just like everybody else that's watching this. My parents grew up a K-State fan. We're going to talk about the Cats. We're going to talk about Manhattan, and we're going to have a lot of fun doing it. So if you want more, or you want to kind of fire off some of the questions, head over to kstateonline.com. Get involved there, and back again tomorrow with the KSO mailbox, as well as the KSO show. Drew and I are going to give a full talk about basketball heading into another matchup that they probably should win against Colorado. Who knows if they do. Baseball is exciting. We'll talk a little bit about that, and certainly find some football talk to throw in there as well, because that's what everybody's looking forward to, K-State football right now.